You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week, I'm super fortunate to be able to talk to business leaders large and small and share their stories with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, I'm really excited to be joined by Henry Lynch of Lynch Brother Homes. And together we're going to be talking about all about property in Oxfordshire, construction, and the wonderful award-winning building firm. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming Henry after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by Henry Lynch of Lynch Brother Homes. Welcome, Henry.
Hi there, Ben. How are you?
So well, thank you. So well. And thanks for spending the time to join me this morning. So I guess for those who aren't familiar with you, and indeed Lynch Brother Homes, give some background.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lynch Brother Homes is a main contractor based here in Oxfordshire. It's owned by myself and my brother, John. Since we set up the company in 2018, we, of course, had the pandemic. So we like to say that we were born in the darkness and nothing is too difficult for us. Since then, we used to be your general builders. However, we used to use a lot of subcontractors, and then the subcontractors would maybe be slightly unreliable. So we decided to set up a group of companies called Lynch Holdings. And then beneath the group now, we have J&H Lynch Limited, where we do your liquid screed, spray rendering and plastering. We also have a company called Noble Painting and Decorating. We have 25 high-end residential decorators servicing Oxfordshire and surrounding counties, and also self-serving ourselves. We have the company Lynch Brother Homes, and we also have a company called Lynch Brother Developments. So we're getting into the developments in recent months.
Amazing. Lots to unpack in those businesses over the remainder of the show. But before that, the most difficult question I ask my guests is to choose a song on the radio, to be a radio DJ just for a moment. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I'm going to go for Luke Holmes, Front Door Famous, if you don't mind. And reason being is because I have two kids. One's 2 years old and one's 8 months old. And I'm in the thick of it. So, yeah, let's go for that one, if you don't mind.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Henry, which I'm sure all parents will absolutely resonate with, we've heard all about Henry and indeed his businesses. And today we're going to be talking about property in Oxfordshire and all about the world of construction. So, Henry, I just want to start with quite a big question, really. What does the property market look like and what does the construction sector look like at the moment?
It's a great question, really. I think it peaks and troughs, and it has been doing for quite some time. So I would say that we're moving, but everyone's moving a little bit slower than they used to. The world of construction, the interest rates have gone up. And to be transparent, a lot of our work used to come from the middle market. And the middle market, they may put a remortgage on their home and then put a single story extension, which keeps things moving. But as the interest rates skyrocketed, people stopped doing that. So we started to look towards architects for a lot more work and moving into the higher end sector. However, as we all know, property needs to move. And I think the rates are coming down slowly, but not as slow as everyone was predicting. So it's moving slowly but surely, I think, is the consensus at the moment, Ben.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's really interesting the point you make there in terms of interest rates and that impact on property. I'm aware that a lot of building firms in the sector have gone backwards during that period, but you guys have very much stepped forward and become a group of companies. Talk me through that good, bad and ugly around the reasoning with it and what you've seen as the fruits.
That's a great question. And I think it's about driving efficiencies in today's market because it's extremely competitive. To be transparent, I've never known it so competitive. So lots of people are standing still, lots of people are worrying about their next best step and who do they use. And it's always based on being as competitive as you can. So being able to drive the efficiencies, pull all the strings in-house, means that we use less subcontractors. They don't cost us as much as they would do on a normal basis, because we directly employ them every day of the week. We've got direct control to the quality of the finish that we're providing. And it was also about diversity. If one sector wasn't working as much as it should have been or has been, then maybe we can move into another sector for the time being and then move backwards and forwards. So I think it's about being diverse in this market at the moment to maintain a strong set of companies.
No, absolutely. And I know that from other guests we've had on this show over the last 5 years, I know there's a big Oxford badge in terms of the Oxfordshire market is somewhat of a mini microclimate. And I appreciate most of your work is in Oxfordshire, but do you see that? Is Oxfordshire a special place for property and construction?
I do believe it is. I believe we're in a little bit of a bubble. We're very close to London, but we're not inside London. There's a lot of people, elephant in the room, with a lot of money in Oxfordshire and surrounding counties. So I think we do feel the issues and the climate, but we don't feel it as much as maybe neighbouring counties. So I think you are correct there. And I think we're spoiled a little bit from being inside Oxfordshire. But we do have our own issues, and there are more issues occurring with LTNs and the way around Oxford at the moment. And we do feel it, but I think it's a soft approach or a soft feel, I think, would be the best way to push it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think from an outside point of view, I think one of the things that really comes across about your business is you're very forward thinking in terms of use of technology, in terms of your social media presence, in terms of how you engage with the community. Talk to me about from an inside point of view, how your business runs and really kind of your ethos and your values and is my outside perception correct?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. So to give you a little bit more background, so I'm a carpenter by trade and my brother John is a carpenter. And we're very much a 50-50 company, although I do. A lot of people look at Lynch Brother Homes and they see me on marketing and social media and I'm talking and now I'm on the radio and they're not always thinking about John, but John is an operator and he is the best builder that I have ever met. And he's very much in the trenches and he's problem solving. So there's two halves of this company. So I need to have a good push for John when I can. But me and John, I went into the office alongside my dad, who owned a company since 1984 called Lynch Building Contractors. Very much a small scale residential builder, went into development. And I think that's where I found my feet. I was a better in the office management side of things than I was a carpenter. Not putting myself down, because I did win Apprentice of the Year award back in 2014 and met the mayor of Oxford. But my dad nice. Was my boss, so he might have swung that for me ever so slightly. But now where it's got more competitive, I think that's where the drive of modern technology and efficiencies has come from. And we quickly learned that, okay, word of mouth is great, but word of mouth isn't going to grow the company to where we want it to be. And to be transparent, eventually in our lifetime, we would like to be the biggest and the best building company in Oxford. So we're setting the bar very high. And we quickly realized that 1,000 people a month were searching for a builder in Oxford on Google. So we thought, wow, that's amazing. 1,000 new faces. Okay, well, how do we get there? And that's where we pushed into lots of marketing, lots of search engine optimization. And I think that's worked very well for us up until today's date. And to be even more transparent, we employ someone that comes into our company and he says, well, the way that you're getting from A to B to Z, it's great, but it's not efficient enough. You need to do it like this. And he goes out on site and then he comes in the office and he listens to our phone calls. So we're now very much breathing efficiencies, dissecting the customer journey. How do we get from A to B to Z as quickly as possible? And I think the word that's always coming into most conversations at the moment is AI, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And since AI has been on the horizon, we've been falling into AI, pushing forward, being a little bit skeptical about it, not so much scared about it, but trying to learn more about it. And I think I noticed that you're doing the same, because I've seen you at some networking events and we're all trying to learn, because it's such a grey area, and where it's come in the last 1-2 years, I think it's going to unfold in the next 2 to 10 years exponentially.
No, absolutely. The AI piece is a really interesting one, particularly for you guys as a building firm, because I think that from an outside, and I say this with all due respect for the sector, from the outside, I think that there is the perception that a building firm is very much bricks and mortar, very much laying bricks, I suppose. But actually, you guys are, you know, looking at your background, you're a very modern, very, very modern business. You spoke a little bit about customer experience, which we're going to come on to later in the show, but also the AI in terms of efficiencies. Would you mind sharing with the listeners, really, how you ensure that balance of real efficiencies from process with that customer journey and that customer experience, and Mrs. Smith picking up the phone to Lynch Brother Homes and getting that really good experience, but also the end product being built really well? Because I think you do it so well as a business, I think it'd be really useful for the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's two sides of our company, really. There's internal operations, which is what's happening inside our office. So to let you know who we've got in the office, we have a procurement manager, we have a project manager, we have directors, operations management director, myself. We have the operations director for Noble. We have an accounts technician, so an accountant that's on full time for us, digging deep, doing our forecast, profit and losses. Project administrators. So there's lots of people there that need to be organized and have our ducks in a row and make sure that we're customer focused, but make sure that we're efficient. And then on site, we've got the tradespeople and the project manager that dips in and out, and the contracts manager down from foreman, carpenter, builders, skilled laborers, etc. So it's maybe construction slightly different, where we have two different sides of what's happening, one in the office and one out on site. And I think being out on site with regards AI, there's not a huge amount happening at the moment. Yes, we're trying to create our project timelines using AI as best we can, but really that's just structuring, and then we need to make sure that it works. So other than that, for the construction side, not a huge amount. So customer facing, everyone sees our tradespeople, they're in-house, they're fully employed. We like to call ourselves posh builders, if there's such a thing. But when it comes from the administrative side of things and the project management side, I think we always make sure that we're answering the phone. I think that's a must. There's no automation on our lines or anything like that. If you email, you get a response from someone who is a human. But I think there's other sides of things that you can automate using AI. And I don't want to, you know, I'd be giving away everything if I tell you everything, Ben. But it's really not that complex at the moment with regards a lot of blog writing, a lot of our social media posts. We're now looking into how do we manage videography using AI, because we have someone out on site who's doing the videos, but can we do the editorial side of that to streamline the process? A lot of our financial forecasts, we use AI now to predict into the future. We know what's going to be in the bank in a year's time, but we streamline that process. Amazing. Profit and losses. So looking back 6 months, 12 months, how did we get on? Did we make a profit? If not, why not? And we really streamline that using AI. And to mention one that's helping us quite often is a company called Monday.com with our CRM and automated emails and things like that. So yeah, we're embedding it. But I think a lot of people say AI and they think, well, where do I use it? Actually, I'm not sure. Is it AI? Is it not AI? But I think just learning a lot about it, but making sure that there's people there that are answering the phone and sending emails if there's ever an issue, I think it's fundamental.
Absolutely. No, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Right. Let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Henry Lynch of Lynch Brother Homes, as well as a group of companies that work so closely all across Oxfordshire and beyond, producing wonderful homes and everything inside them. So Henry, before that break, we've spoken about some of the background of the business. And really, I think it would be useful for our listeners to really get a feel of that ambition to become number one in Oxfordshire. I think that anyone that looks at your social media and listens to you talk will be really impressed with that attention to detail and that ambition. What gave you the ambition to grow the business the way you are? And what do you see as those key things that will take you to becoming the biggest firm in Oxfordshire?
You're gonna hold me to that now. I've said that. I've set the bar.
You said it on radio.
Yeah, I normally just say that to myself, Ben, but now we're here. I think there's something inside me that drives. I am ambitious. There are two of us that are at the helm of this company, and it needs to be big to cater for what we want it to do. And at the same time, I love Oxfordshire. I love the trade. I love construction. I love customer service, and all of it blends together within across our five companies under Lynch Holdings. And I think it's from my grandfather was born in Ireland. He come over in the 50s, and he's a carpenter by trade, and he had his own construction company, and he did development. And then my dad did a similar thing with Lynch Building Contractors and development, a carpenter by trade. And I think it may be bred into us because I'm a carpenter by trade myself, as I mentioned earlier, and so is my brother John. And I just really enjoying creating something that we're very proud of and which makes people happy. Because fundamentally, there are holes in our industry, and there are a lot of people not providing the service that they should be. There's a lot of not trustworthiness, etc., and bad quality finishes. But if we can mitigate that and give the local people and surrounding counties energy efficient homes with a good service for a competitive price and I think what I like to say is a stress-free route forward and project life cycle, then that's what I'm all about and keen to hand over, if at all possible. But of course, there's always problems, but it's how you get over them.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that's one of the lessons in business, isn't it? I think we all learn more from the problems and from the challenges than we do when things are going really, really well. You touched on energy efficiency here, and I'm keen to flip and go to the building site and really talk about the future of homes. So I know from a non-technical person looking at your social media pages, the properties you build look beautiful. But what are the key things that you guys are working on in the world of construction? And what are some of the key things that your clients are really care about in terms of the actual building? We'll talk about service in a moment, but the actual building itself, what are some of the key things that are happening?
I think there's been traditional buildings which have been being built in the UK for many years, and a lot of them are cavity brick and blockwork homes, and building regs is getting tighter, and you need to make them more efficient, and the cavities are getting wider, which means that more insulation is put in, which boosts U values and airtightness. However, that's very traditional builds, which are great, but I think we're now looking more towards these prefabricated timber homes. So prefabricated timber could be something from a company named MBC Timber Frame. We're currently building a house in Bagley Wood Road in Kennington, and it's out of this structure. And they're about 25% more energy efficient. And without holding me to it, I think they're about twice as airtight, which means that they're just a much more efficient home. And now we're incorporating them with MVHR units. And we've also got air source heat pumps, which I'm sure you've heard of. And then the infrastructure that we're creating within them is complementing the air source heat pump. And the building is just working well. As it should, and as efficiently as they should moving forward. So I think there's a lot around energy efficiency, and you can push it all the way to passive house standards, and then the standards come back from there. But I think as a industry, everyone is trying to be more efficient, which I think is great. And I'm no expert in this field. I am very much a builder, and I have very much built alongside traditional techniques, but I'm keen to learn more as we progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you've moved more towards being the face of the business on the marketing, using AI and strategy. But are there still projects that, you know, all this period of time and growing the business that you look at and think, wow, that's really exciting? Or you get a pitch in for a client and you think, do you know what? That really fascinates me. We've never done this before. This is going to be really new.
Yeah, all the time. And I like to say to clients that we like projects that don't conform to the norm, because it is good fun. And if they're difficult, it makes it feel better once you've completed it. So I think I'm going to go back to where we're doing this NBC timber frame home over in Bagleywood Road. And it is the largest timber frame home that we've built or we are building to date. It's 5-bedroom detached. It's on a raft slab, fully insulated. And I'm just really keen and eager to see how all the pieces knit together to make sure that we hit the energy efficient ratings that we need to. But not only that, I like to breathe on, yes, the finish, but the efficiencies. How did we get there? Why does it notoriously take too long? So that's something that I knit together, and I'm really keen to figure out how do we, again, get from A to B to Z as promptly as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always learning and always eager to learn more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things that you touched on earlier, and I'm going to use my words as opposed to yours, Henry, so we don't make enemies in the sector. But but certain, you know, certain building firms don't have the reputation of your firm. And I think a big part of that often is the service, and sometimes the finish. Why do you think that is for the sector? Talk to me about some of the things that you guys put in place to ensure that actually everyone that works with your firm gets that really good service. And once they've got to the end of that, that journey and that build, they've got the property that they're really proud of and that they love.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And there's lots of ways that I can answer it. But I want to start by answering it that there's so many fantastic builders in Oxford. And there are some that aren't as fantastic as the majority. And I think a lot of the problems occur not from the will of not trying, but it's just not being set up to cater for bigger projects or multiple projects at one time. You really need to have a systemized approach to construction. There's lots that can go wrong. There's lots that will go wrong. It's just trying to mitigate that, streamline it. And then if anything does occur, then you just need to run towards it and deal with it because it isn't going anywhere. So I think what I would say in short is there aren't enough systems, there aren't enough processes, there's not enough hats on heads to be able to achieve a project of scale. You need your contracts manager, you need your projects manager, you need your foreman, you need your skilled tradespeople, whether that's in-house or not in-house. But not only that, we lean on other professionals. So we've got the structural engineer, and they need to be doing a good job, and they need to be liaising with the architect to make sure their load bearing requirements match up with the design. And the architect needs to be designing something that works on site. And if it doesn't, they need to be ready, available to pop to site to sort it. And we very much like having the architects to act as contracts administrators. So they come through that project life cycle with us. And it's all of these people knitted together that make way for a stress-free experience. And if you don't have people doing what they need to be doing, then you almost lose an arm. And then, yes, you can compensate. But if you don't have a couple of arms, it then gets a little bit more difficult. So systems, processes, the right companies, the right ethos, and the right people is fundamental.
No, absolutely. I think that's a really good lesson for business. I think it's so easy, isn't it, to get complacent, and it's so easy to in the nicest possible way lose an arm and cope, to continue with your analogy. But actually, I think that there is always so many opportunities to grow and to improve and to develop. So, no, amazing. Let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Henry Lynch of Lynch Brother Homes. And we've been talking all about the world of construction, but so much more. If you aren't familiar with Henry or indeed any of the five companies, do head over to their website and have a look. I definitely would recommend that. Henry, I'm going to move on to probably away from construction a little bit. You guys as a firm and you individually have been really, really successful with awards and recognition and reviews as well. Talk to me about or do a better job for the listener about some of the awards that you've got involved in and your successes and really kind of what it's meant to you as a business. And I think I'm more gearing this towards the Oxfordshire business owner listening now, the benefits to them and your advice around it.
Yeah, I think awards are great. I think as business owners, we're in the thick of it every minute of every day. It's stressful, it's difficult, it's not easy. So to have recognition at points of your journey really does help you secure longevity with consistency. And it's great for not only me to be recognized within the company, but there's so much more than just me. There's my brother John. We have other family members scattered within the company, and we're very much family run, and all of our other team members, whether that's on site or in the office. And I think it's also great for business to be recognized. And one of which I'll mention is the Oxfordshire Business Awards. And I think I might be wrong, but one of the biggest awards in the Oxfordshire Business Calendar. And we've been in for Property Developer of the Year 2 times now. We're yet to win. I like to say we come second, but we might have been third.
Definitely second, definitely second.
And then we've also been in for Young Business. Well, I went in personally for Young Business Person of the Year and actually took that award this year, which I'm very proud of. And the recognition to be in the room, to be on the screen, to be spoken about with all these really well-renowned, well-run businesses across Oxfordshire, I think it's fantastic. It's great. It's part of a community, and I'm really enjoying that. And we did actually went for the Brick Awards, and I'm looking to my left to make sure that I know exactly what it was for. But it was Business of the Year and in construction, and we managed to take finalist on that as well, which was a couple of
Amazing.
years ago. So, yeah, enjoy the awards. It's a great day out for the team. Gets the ethos nice and high, and reminds people that we are actually doing an okay job
Yeah.
in the sector. So if you need someone that is reliable and reputable, don't hesitate to give us a call. And that speaks for all of a wide range of businesses.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And just focusing on that awards process, do you feel that if you look at some of the awards you've been involved in, going through that interviewing stage and putting together the application, do you feel that it's helped you to look at your business plan and look at you as a business and continue to give yourself and the team a pat on the back for the great work you've done, but also really kind of see those intricacies where you can still make improvements and can still grow?
Absolutely. And you've just reminded me, actually, we went in for Employer of the Year, and we didn't make the cut. And I was a little bit like, wow, we employ a lot of people. We're very diverse. We treat everyone very well. And then we spoke to, I believe it was Hayes Recruitment, and we had to sit down and said, okay, well, what could we do better? And they actually took an hour out of their time, which I think is huge in this in the current climate. Everyone's very busy to sit down and say, look, this is what you're doing great. This is what people are doing locally, and this is what people are doing nationally. And since then, we're putting things in place to make sure that we are a better employer. So even when we're not winning awards, we're taking information which is valuable, invaluable, really, to make sure that potentially we could win the award the next year, which is one thing, but making sure that we're a better company for people to work for, which means that they're going to survive longevity. Operating and systemizing the company to where it needs to be in many years' time.
No, absolutely. No, really, really good. You did talk about being a family business, and you spoke about just there in terms of your commitment to your team and people. How have you continued to be such a strong employer? And what if you were to look at the people that join you, what do you think really kind of attracts them? And when talking to your staff, what makes them stay for so long? Because I know you've got a great reputation as an employer.
I think it's about treating people with the same respect as you would want to be treated with. And we show everyone the highest level of respect. And we, of course, do expect that respect in return. And it's about being proud of what we're creating. It's proud of the efficiencies that we're building, proud of the properties that we're leaving behind that will be lived in for many hundreds of years. And I think that's a huge part. It's just being proud to work towards the same goal, to what we all want as a company or as a group of businesses.
Yeah, no, amazing. Amazing. No, really, really good. Perfect. So now I'm keen, just we're coming towards the kind of the final stint of the show, but I'm keen to build on a couple of things. And I know that you'll be modest, Henry, so I'm gonna do it in two parts. So I guess for those listening at home, you know, most of us live in houses. When selecting a builder, and we're gonna talk about your firm in a moment, but when selecting a builder, what would be your advice? What's some of the things to consider if, you know, people listening at home are thinking about having their house built or thinking about an extension? What are some of the things that you would, as a professional in the sector, recommend that they think about and some of the questions they may ask?
I think it's a fantastic question. So am I allowed to plug my YouTube channel?
Please do. Please do.
I would. Well, I created with the team, I think it was 16 or 20 questions that you should ask your builder. And then we answered it from our perspective. And that's over on YouTube at Lynch Brother Homes. And it's about sort of what insurances do you carry, whether that's public employees liability, but you can go even further to public indemnity insurance and then to contracts works insurance. And contracts works means if we were on your build and there was a fire for whatever reason, all of our work is insured in real time. I think it would be a great question to ask, what's the infrastructure? Who's behind the face of the company? So I would even ask to go into someone's office and see, okay, well, who's the project manager? Who's the accounts technician? Who's the administrators? Who are the directors? Who's the procurement team, to make sure that infrastructure is there to secure your investment? I think it would be good to mitigate the amount of subcontractors that people use, because then essentially we're relying on other companies, which is fine. And we all do that, but we don't want to be doing that too often. I think you could even dig even further and go into company's house, see the longevity, go and have a look at reviews, make sure you go into past projects, talk to current clients, go into current projects. I think that people don't do as often as maybe they should, see how it's run. Is the site tidy? And just ask everyone what their experience has been. If Oxfordshire isn't a huge community, so I'm sure someone would have heard, or a friend of a friend might have worked with them. And yeah, I think it's good to be as comprehensive as you can be and digging in. And I might even say ask AI, because AI might be able to help you even faster or more efficient. Okay, what are the reviews like? Is there anything negative about this company into ChatGPT? I think that would be a really good idea in today's future.
Amazing. No, really, really good advice. Now I'm going to pick on your own business. So I think that anyone listening to this show will have clearly been impressed. You know, I genuinely, as I've said a few times throughout the show, I think you're a great firm. If people are listening and they want to engage you guys, how would they go about that? And I guess secondly to that, you know, what kind of projects are too small for you? What kind of projects are too big? And just to kind of give that flavour of for those listening at home of who should reach out.
We're very well diverse, really, because we do small projects as much as load-bearing walls or a kitchen refurbishment to a single-storey extension to double-storey extensions to full internal refurbs, including all of what I've just mentioned, and maybe a loft on the top. And then moving into timber frame prefabricated buildings, which are energy efficient and alongside air source heat pumps and MVHR units, or traditional builds, brick block work like we did over in Kennington, four-bedroom high-end residential home. Well-diverse main contractor, still with our roots as a family-run company. So don't ever think that the job might be too small, is what I like to say to people, because we're well-structured. We now have a small works department and we've streamlined the processes for the small works, even like a load-bearing wall, because it's still very intricate and it needs every trade, and it needs your structural engineer and maybe your architect and maybe some project management to get from A to Z as promptly as possible. But moving forward, we've got infrastructure now. We're now employing nearly 40 tradespeople every day of the week within Lynch Brother Homes. Noble Painting and Decorating, we have 25 high-end residential decorators who work for us, self-service as a building company, but we also help other building companies and private clients alike. So that being said, with the infrastructure as a whole, I think we're very well set up to deal with a couple of residential properties at one time. And even slightly moving into the commercial sector to refurbishing offices or even science labs or canteens. And I think just ask. And if we're interested, we'll let you know. And if it doesn't conform to the norm, I know it will be yes. So yeah, ask the question and we'll see what we can do.
Amazing, amazing, perfect. Brilliant. We are very, very almost at the end of the show. But one of the things that I love to leave our listeners with is a lasting top tip. It doesn't need to be something that we haven't discussed. It could just be that you would love our listeners to highlight something in their notepad. Or it might be something that I've not asked you about that you would love to talk about on the radio. But what would be your closing top tip to leave our listeners with?
I should have done some research on this, really. I think my closing top tip, and it's going to sound cliche, but if you're a business owner, to lean into AI, don't be scared of it. The future is upon us, and it will help you and your infrastructure, and it will enable you to scale. So yes, absolutely. Learn AI, lean into it and enjoy it.
Amazing. What a great tip. What a great tip. That is the end of the show. But thank you so much, Henry, for joining us. And
thank you, Ben.
For giving such insight into your business. So thank you for that. And definitely, if you are listening and you aren't familiar with Henry and their group of companies, definitely head over to social media and to YouTube and have a look at some of the great stuff that they do. We will be back next week with some brand new guests. And next week, we're talking about finance for business owners. And we'll have a panel of experts talking about that wonderful topic. Just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. And do look out for the podcast version, which is on every podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would like to see my lovely guests, do have a look out for the video format, which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire this Sunday, and we'll see you next week.